Hi, this is Craig Tim. Thank you for listening and tuning in. When we get together, we're going to hear a message from Almighty God. A message on helping us with our Christian walk. Our Christian walk every day runs into trials and tribulations, runs into obstacles, runs into detours of life. But His message gives us the strength, gives us the encouragement, and the word and the knowledge to get through every day and to be examples for those that we come into contact with. Today's message is a challenging one, to be honest with you. It's titled, Suffering is a Reality. Suffering is a reality. Now, what does it mean to suffer? What does it mean to suffer to you? Any of the dictionaries, it says, means to endure pain or loss. It also means to feel what is painful or distressing, either to the body or to the mind. Again, nobody likes to suffer. I don't like to suffer. And more times than that, it seems as though suffering happens to really good people too. If anybody's going to suffer, it should be the bad guy over there. But it all happens to us good ones too. Suffering is something that each one of us deal with every day of our lives. It comes into everyday people's lives, both great and small. And sometimes suffering comes into people's lives and we don't know how or why God would allow that to endure such a trial. Suffering can also come in a moment's notice. Click, snap your fingers. And when you least expect it. It comes in different shapes and sizes. It ranges from financial suffering, relationships, both with spouses, friends, co-workers, physical, emotional, spiritual, and many other ways, just to name a few here. And if that's the case, then why did God allow me or my friend at work or a family member, my close neighbor, even the person standing next to me in the line at the store, why does He allow us to suffer the trials and tribulations that are thrown our way every day? Well, a popular verse of Scripture that many like to quote is Romans 8:28, and it says, "And we all know that all things work together for good to them that love God, And we all know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." So, does this mean that it's God's will for those who are saved to suffer? Well, actually, yes, to some degree. We are promised in the Scriptures that we should have to suffer. That we need to suffer. No, that's probably not right either. We might have to suffer? No, actually, the Scripture says that we are, we are going to suffer. It says that we are going to suffer. So why does God say we are going to suffer? That doesn't sound very good. I mean, you are going to suffer. Before we go, let me ask you this first. What might you be suffering from today? How would you define what you're suffering from today? Hold that thought. I want to explore the issue just in a little more detail for a few minutes here. But most people typically come from one of two angles on the topic of suffering. The first group are the philosophers. They're looking for answers to life's big questions. And they see the state of the world and ask, "How could a good God let it get so bad?" And the second group are the ones who are suffering. Those from the depths of despair with the broken hearts and the tired crying eyes. They've called out to God asking, "Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? Why are we suffering?" Well, I'm going to tell you right now the very simple answer to this why question is that age-old enemy out there. It's called sin. Genesis tells us that God created our world and it was, quote, very good. Humanity lived in perfect relationship with God and the world and with one another. But everything changed with the fall that we read about in Genesis 3. Sin entered the world and, like a stone flung into a glass, it shattered God's creation. And from that time on, we have lived in a world subjected to frustration, Pain, death, tears, anguish, those are all just as common as a smile and joy and laughter. Suffering is a consequence of living in a broken and hurting world. That's the bottom line. I guess we can call this done. But I won't, because God has more for us to hear. It's fitting to find that this particular disciple writes about suffering. And you may know who he is. It's Peter. Peter himself, he had to deal with suffering throughout his personal ministry his whole life. In the Gospels, Peter had to deal with the suffering of failure. And in the last chapter of John, we find Peter going back to a lifestyle that he knew before he followed Jesus, back to his comforts. He suffered failure and ridicule when he denied Jesus the night of his arrest. He suffered persecution while preaching in Jerusalem. He suffered trials and temptations while on his missionary journeys scattered throughout the New World at the time. But Peter encourages us to rejoice in the midst of our suffering by responding to something other than our immediate circumstances. Though the situation before us seems bleak and just unbelievable, we just can't get out of it, there is a bigger picture behind what we see and feel. Just remember that. Not your immediate circumstance. There's a bigger picture out there. The point that Peter's making here is that since you're going to suffer in this life anyway, because, Scripture says we are going to suffer as followers of Christ, you might as well make it count. In other words, if you're going to be judged for everything that you say or you do or that you even think, you might as well make every single second of your life count that it might be logged down on the good side of the ledger rather than the bad. In other words, not only would be judged on what you did good and bad, but there'll be judgment based on how you handled those trials. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure you've read many times that there are supposedly more Christians in the world today than ever before. That's all over in statistics and documents and so forth. But the easy answer is, Craig. Of course there's more Christians in the world because there's more people on the earth than ever before. And if you just run the statistics, there's going to be more Christians than there were 30 years ago. There are more churches, yep, and more Christian organizations, yep. And this is all true, but because we have all more of this than we've ever had before because there's more people, so remember that matrix. If this is true, is our world a better place for it, though, today? Just think about that. They want to brag about all these Christians. They want to brag about all these ministries, all these churches. But is our world a better place for it today? Morally, spiritually, socially, it seems every place you turn, the world's getting worse. Libya, Egypt, Middle East suicide bombers. Murder rates are the highest ever in our country. There are more relational breakdowns than ever before. And on and on and on. Whatever statistic you want to read, it sounds terrible. The Sunday school answers and the sermons we hear, they're just not enough today. So what do we need? We need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to personalize the character of Christ in each of us so that the whole body of Christ will shine as light in this darkened society. So let me ask you, how is your current level of spiritual growth and your intimacy with God today? How would you describe it? Of course, everything in the survey has multiple choice. So here we go. Are you completely satisfied? Are you somewhat satisfied? Neither satisfied or dissatisfied. Somewhat dissatisfied or completely dissatisfied. How would you describe your current level of spiritual growth and intimacy with God? Well, Paul, he was completely dissatisfied. What? Completely dissatisfied? No, not Paul. He can't be that way. Well, he strongly stated here in Philippians 3:10, he says, my goal, I want to know him, Christ, and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Suffer with him? Is that part of the deal? Oh my gosh, Paul, are you nuts? I want to share in the authority and power of the kingdom to come with Christ, but to have to suffer too? Yep, even to share in his passion and his suffering. Scripture says we are going to suffer. Accept it. Now, suffering is a reality to millions and millions of other people around the world. Why would Paul say such a thing here? I wondered that same thing myself. That you may know, that may get to know him. In Greek, know, K-N-O-W, know, is the word, I hope I pronounce it right, genosko? Genosko. Forgive me if I sounded it wrong. It's G-I-N-O-S-K-O. And which doesn't mean to know about, but it means to know personally based on experience. And that's what Paul meant. And we should seek to know Christ personally based on our own experiences too. Why wouldn't we want that? To know him in the experiences we've had. Let's get to know him intimately that way. There's a gentleman, John R. Stott. He was an English Anglican cleric and theologian. He was a noted leader in the worldwide evangelical movement during its time. And he's authored, 50 books or so, I guess. I don't know exactly. I didn't count them all. But there is one book called Basic Christianity. And he wrote this back in 1958, before many of you listening were even born, and some that were born. Most likely probably weren't even born. But this was one of his most read books, Basic Christianity. Sadly, he passed away in 2011. But he did say during this, the fact of suffering is undoubtedly the single greatest challenge to the Christian faith. And it has been that way in every generation. Its distribution and degree appear to be entirely random and therefore unfair. Sensitive spirits ask if it can possibly reconcile with God's justice and his love. That's what he said. Entirely random and therefore unfair. Why wouldn't all of these folks over here on the right have to suffer the same as those in the back? Or maybe a little bit less than those on the left, but the left are more than the ones in the front. You know what I mean? That's what he's saying there. It appears to be unfair, but it's not. It's all random for the individual person. As I really got to thinking here, I wonder how the world deals with suffering. We kind of have an idea what Christ talks about here, that we are going to suffer and the different ways that we have and the experiences that we've gone through. But what does the rest of the world do? Do any of the other world religion have any kind of a satisfactory answer? Partial answer, they have anything? Well, if we look at the claims of the non-Christians and their response to suffering and the evil, we'll find frustrations. We'll find that they're ineffective. And a general sense of purposeless life. They just don't have any life about them. But I want to take a look at a couple of these religions and let's just see what they were defined as. What was stated about it, if we can. Atheism. Okay, we all hear about that. Atheism has nothing to offer anyone who is in the situation of suffering. Their claim to fame states that all suffering just proves there is no all-powerful good God. That's the bottom line with them. But the problem with approaching the evil from this point of view, how can personality, meaning who we are, and rationality, the ability to reason, how can this come from an impersonal and irrational world? Well, the answer is it can't. That's the bottom line there. It can't. Atheism now. Existentialism. This line of atheism is thought focuses on man to determine the meaning of life. Bottom line, man is the center of our world. He thinks everything revolves around him. Yep, we've heard that before. Communism. They just turn a deaf ear and they just close their eyes to the pain and the suffering. Nobody in the Marxist camp has developed an effective answer for suffering. The only evil that they have in communist world is which frustrates the purposes of communism itself. That's all they're worried about. They're not worried about anything else. Escapism. Many of the philosophies in this camp have chosen to not directly deny God, but instead just not deal with the real problem of suffering. They just kind of pretend it doesn't exist. You know, they just kind of just escape from it. And escaping from it is what? From addictions, right? Whatever you use to cover any pains and sufferings you might be feeling. Addictions. Whatever are you going to use? Drugs, alcohol, any other addiction. And it doesn't even have to be drugs and alcohol. There are all kinds of other addictions that take you away from God's message, to take you away from time with God here. It's not the rejection of the realities from these addictions, but what the addictions do, they deaden the power of trying to take away the pains. You just are so, you know, you fill yourself up, you just don't feel any hurt or pain anymore. You're just hiding it. Now, and there's many more examples. I mean, we could spend the next hour going through multitudes of different examples, but I'm not going to do that because each of them have different ways to try and deal with suffering, evil, and pain. But interesting enough, not one of them give an adequate answer or relief from the reality of your sufferings. Any of those other religions, and there's many more, Eastern religion, Buddhism, Hinduism, you name it, anything else going on that people have started. But I am curious after this that these examples are many beliefs that society has accepted, that they've accepted as just regarding their pains, but why do none of them give any real answers? I mean, society accepts all these other alternative type of religion, but they don't give any real answers for what the people are looking for. I'm glad you asked, though, because I'll tell you why. The answer is that they disregard the real problem of suffering. They all disregard the wickedness, the sinfulness of man's heart, and the reality of good and evil. They all disregard it. But as a Christian, there are no cookie-cutter answers. First, you need to just ask God. He can handle all of our concerns and all of our questions. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's nothing that he can't handle. The hard part is, though, can you handle his answers? That's the big challenge. He's all perfect and he can handle it all. But can you handle his answers? You know, we looked at how the world deals with their pain and sufferings. But it was the Christian view of suffering. What does that look like? Well, let me start here. The Bible barely begins with God seeing all that he created. And he says it's what? Quote, very good. Then before we know it, evil and suffering explodes onto the scene with a debacle in the Garden of Eden. And Scripture is not silent about our pain and suffering. Instead, it details its origin, nature, and consequences. It tells us where it came from, what it's about, and the consequences from it. And there are thousands of references to evil and wickedness describing sin, such as idolatry, child murder, gossip, greed, just to name a few of them. Again, we could spend another hour going through a whole list of it. And but we can read God's Word and we can find out the root causes to the sufferings we experience. Get in the Word and you'll find out. You'll find out what you're why you're suffering for what you think you're suffering of. But because of man's rebellion, God cursed the earth. And from all that in Genesis 3 begins to tell us about diseases, disasters, and the natural evils. The condition of mankind then runs into a dilemma. Here you go. Moral evil or natural evil? Or is it natural evil versus moral evil? These both come from the same curse because mankind disobeyed or, in many cases, he decided to distrust God. Suffering follows the moral evil. Simply stated, it was rebellion and rejection of God's authority that causes the suffering and pain that we have today. The Christian worldview and how we deal with the problem is absolutely unique from all other religions. We do not deny or discount the presence of evil and suffering. We take a direct approach, address it head on, offering confidence not in ourselves, but in Christ's ability to bring his good from it all. I'm going to begin to close here today, but I have another question for you. What are you suffering with right now? What are you suffering with right now? What do you feel that you're suffering with right now? Is it the financial burdens of what's going on in the world? Is it relationships, addictions? Like we said, there's alcohol, there's drugs, there's gambling, and there's an endless list. But remember, suffering comes in all different shapes and sizes, and we all deal with our sufferings in a variety of ways. But the best news for you as a Christian is that God knows your heart, and he knows exactly what's going on in your life. He wants to use your sufferings not for the bad, but for the good, if you will only allow him to. He wants to give us strength to purge ourselves from all those lustful desires. He wants to build your faith. He wants to use you as his ambassador, his servant to help others who are experiencing the same type of suffering you're going through. So why do you think you're experiencing those kind of sufferings? He has someone for you to touch that's going through the same thing that you are. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he led by example, strengthening those that suffered around him. And that is what he wants from us. And when we apply strengthening to those around us, to our lifestyle, living for Jesus, he reaps the fruits of our lives. This will take place when they witness our endurance and our ability to handle our suffering as a result of Jesus being displayed through us. And through all that we go through, others will see the saving grace of knowing who Jesus Christ can be in their lives too. That's why we do endure the suffering that God said that we are going to suffer. It's for the salvation and the saving of those around us who watch us go through that. And they wonder, how do we do it? How do we overcome that? That opens the door for us to share Jesus Christ and the gospel of salvation for them. Lord, thank you for this message. It's a hard message. Why do we want to suffer? It hurts and there's pain. But the scripture says we are going to suffer. As believers, we are going to suffer. And there's a reason why we are going to suffer. And you've shared that with us today so that we can be the example. We can be your ambassador. That is an awesome, awesome calling on our lives. Ambassador of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray your hand on all those who listen to this message, all those that hear about it from those who have listened and have shared it with them. Lord, touch us. Heal us. Give us the suffering that you need us to have to touch those who don't know you. Thank you for your messages each time we get together. Thank you for enlightening us, encouraging us, and showing us the lighted path of the Christian walk that we come alongside with you. In Jesus' name, amen.